Our scripture reading today is from the book of Jonah. I'm going to read a few verses at the very beginning, so verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1, and then some verses at the end in chapter 4. There's only four chapters in Jonah, so a few out of chapter 1, and then the last 6 or 7 out of chapter 4. That's our text for today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. It's come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, chapter 4, starting verse 5. And in between all of this, you know the story. You know, Jonah is thrown into the sea, swallowed up by a whale. God gave him another chance to go to Nineveh. He preached to the Ninevites there. And this is what happened after his preaching, and the Ninevites decided to respond positively to his preaching. Well, Jonah had gone out, sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. And then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and so many animals? This is the word of God for the people of God. Okay, so Jonah's next up in our series as we look through the minor prophets of the Old Testament. And I know you know that Jonah is famous, and so we're going to have a little pop quiz this morning. And now don't worry, it's not lengthy, it's simple. You don't have to study for it. It's not just all about the details of Jonah. The first question has to do with Jonah, but the other six questions, well, you'll get the idea. So it's kind of more of an opinion poll. So the answer to these questions is either yes or no, whatever you think, yes or no. And I'm not so sure there's a right or wrong, so it's whatever you think. Here you go. Question number one. Was Jonah really swallowed by a whale? Yes or no? Wait. Question number two. Can a camel really go through the eye of a needle? Yes or no? What do you think? Number three. Can a mountain really be thrown into the sea? Yes or no? Question number four, did God really write with his finger on a stone tablet? Yes or no? Question number five, can a star really hang stationary over a manger? Yes or no? Question number six, did a donkey really talk? Yes or no? And the last question, number seven, was the whole universe really created in 6 days? Yes or no? So how do you know? How do you know whether to say yes or no to any of those questions? You know, if we have to say yes to all those questions in order to feel like we've passed the test of faith, then we've completely missed the boat on what faith is all about. I want you to let that sink in a little bit. As much as I believe in miracles, when we elevate miracles over the message, then our faith is not what God expects or hopes or intends for our faith to be. If we elevate miracles over message, then our faith is invalid. If all people remember about Jonah is that he was swallowed by a whale and lived to tell about it, then we, the church, should be ashamed of ourselves because we have not conveyed the message of the book of Jonah. If we really think that the message of Jonah and the whale is this, if you fall overboard, God's going to send a whale to help and rescue you. If we really think that, then we've missed the boat. No pun intended. So what is the message of Jonah? Anyone? What does God want to say to us through these four chapters of this brief book of the prophet Jonah? It's probably the most famous of the 12 minor prophets, don't you think? But do we really know what God's word is saying to us in this famous part of the Bible? It's like, you know, we believe in the virgin birth and the miracle of Christmas. So what? What does it mean? We believe in the resurrection and the miracle of Easter. But so what? What does it mean? We believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale and miraculously lived. Well, so what? What does it mean? That's what we want to try to understand this morning. But before we go to there, we need to briefly review those four chapters in Jonah, because I think we miss some things. Like, the word Jonah has significance. You know, in the Old Testament, names mean a lot. Almost everybody's name who is a significant character in the Old Testament, their name has some meaning. And it's true with Jonah. So do you know what the word Jonah means? In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word Jonah means dove. It's the exact same word that's used in Genesis when Noah sends out a Jonah to see if there's any land out there, and the Jonah comes back with an olive branch in its mouth, and that symbolizes peace for us, doesn't it? And that's what the word Jonah means. It means dove. Jonah was a prophet, although it doesn't say that in these four chapters at all. Most of the prophets that we are looking at, the minor prophets, and when we looked at the major prophets, all say something about this person was a prophet of God, and so on and so forth. It doesn't say that about Jonah, at least in Jonah. But in 2 Kings, it talks a little bit about this Jonah, son of Amittai, so it's the same person who lived about 750 BC, who was a great prophet. The book of Jonah is written all in the past tense. It's more like a story. It's more like, there's no poetry in it like there is in almost every other prophet. There's some usually ancient Hebrew poetry to get the message across. This reads more like a story. It reads more like a parable. And it contains only one prediction about the future, and that's directed to the people of Nineveh. And it is, if you don't change, God knows your evil ways, and he's going to destroy you in 40 days. That's the only prediction, that's the only prophecy that we have in the book of Jonah, is for the people of Nineveh, and it's very specific. You got 40 days to shape up, or you're going to be shipped out. The book of Jonah is mostly about the interaction between Jonah and God. It's mostly the conversation that goes on between this prophet Jonah and the Lord. And throughout the whole thing, almost from beginning to end, Jonah is very upset with God. It starts off with him running away. It ends up with him being upset that the city wasn't destroyed immediately. So it's kind of an unusual story. It's simple. It has two parts, the first two chapters and the last two chapters. The first two chapters, Jonah goes down, 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 and then God lifts him up. Did you hear in the first couple of verses that I read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, said for him to arise and go to Nineveh? Where Jonah was, Nineveh is north and east and up in the hills. Jonah went south and west and down to the coast. Jonah went down to Joppa, to the port of Joppa, so that he could get a ship sailing even farther away to Tarshish. So that's the first step. He went down to Joppa, away from the Lord. He gets on board the ship, and where does he go? He goes to the lowest deck. He goes down below deck. All the other sailors are doing their job. They're up on the upper deck, and they're taking care of business. And then a terrible storm hits. The sea gets really rough. The waves are battering the boat. The sailors, professional sailors, are worried that the ship is going to sink, that their lives are in danger. And Jonah comes up to find out what the problem is. And they say, oh no, we're all in trouble. And Jonah says, I know what the problem is. Just throw me overboard and I think, you know, that'll solve the problem. And so they do. They throw him overboard and he goes down into the sea. Down, down. And then of course the famous part where this big fish comes, swallows up Jonah, rescues him from drowning, but he ends up down in the belly of a whale. Down, 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 down. He just keeps going down until he cries out to God from down in the realm of the dead. He calls it in chapter 2, verse 2. And in verse 5, he says, the deep has surrounded me. And then in verse 6 of chapter 2, but you, my God, brought my life up. And there's the transition point in the first part of the book. Jonah was going down, 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 but God brought him back up. In fact, at the end of chapter 2, it says the whale spit him up onto dry land. So here you have God rescuing him, bringing what was going down, down, down in his life of his own accord, of his own decisions. Everything was spiraling downward. God stepped in and rescued him, brought him up, up, up. The second part is the last two chapters where Jonah finds himself with a second chance to take God's word to the Ninevites, who were notoriously evil and wicked people. Nobody liked them. Nobody liked them, not even other enemies of God's people. They didn't like the Ninevites either. And so God was aware that they needed to change, and so he's going to send his word to them. And so in this part, these two chapters, Nineveh bows down, but when they do, that upsets Jonah, and so he gives up. That's the second part, the last two chapters, chapters 3 and 4. Nineveh listens to the message, responds, bows down to God, and that doesn't please Jonah. So he throws up his hands and just gives up. That's all. I'm just totally done with this whole Nineveh mission. And what comes at the end of the chapter 4, the end of the book of Jonah, is this question that God has. Okay, Jonah, you're giving up. I get it. You're upset. But do you have really any right to be upset? Why are you so angry? What good is your anger doing? And that's the question that Jonah doesn't answer, except to say, yeah, I'm upset, and I'm rightfully upset, and I wish I were dead. That's all his response is. We don't get anything more about whether Jonah repented of his anger. The Ninevites repented. They turned to God. What did Jonah do? We don't know. And it's kind of one of those moral of the story endings that God is challenging the thinking and the response of Jonah, and we don't know what it is, and so we're supposed to fill in the blank. What would our response be? If we were in Jonah's sandals, if we'd been through what Jonah had been through, what would we say in response to God's question. Why are you angry? Do you have a right to be angry? So we're going to get back to that in a minute. Because now that we've kind of refreshed our thinking about what happened in Jonah, the content of it, let's get back to the question of so what? What does it mean? So we get all that. We got chapters 1 and 2, 3 and 4, we got those down. We get it. Now the question is, what's the message? What's God trying to say to us through this message, through this book of Jonah? Because it's really not about a whale. If someone asks you, kids, grandkids, you're teaching Sunday school class, you're in a Bible study, someone says, well, the story of Jonah is about a whale. You say, no, it's not. Just change their thinking. It's not about a whale. It's not even about Jonah running away from God. I mean, the first part of the first chapter, that's what Jonah does. The word of God comes to him, says, go do this. Jonah says, nope, I'm going the other way. It's really not about that. It's not even about the amazing repentance that the whole city of Nineveh goes through. No, the book of Jonah is not about any of that. The book of Jonah, are you ready? Is about God's grace. That's what the whole book is about. It's about the amazing grace of God. The message is that God cares enough about everyone that in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite love, he extends that grace whenever and to whomever he wants. That's the message of the book of Jonah. So think about that. God's grace is amazing, and it's up to him to whenever and whomever he wants to extend that grace. So how do we feel about that? And before you answer that, two things about God's grace out of Jonah that we need to be reminded of. And the first thing is to understand that God's grace brings life in the face of death and darkness. The sailors on the ship in chapter one especially, they were afraid they were going to drown. They were afraid this storm on the water was just going to swallow them up. And yet, in God's grace, he calmed the storm. In the face of their fear, in the face of death, his grace applied to their lives. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, Jonah is going down, down, down in the water. Then he gets eaten by swallowed by a big fish, and he's down, down, down in the belly of the whale. And he thinks he's going to die. He says, I'm here in the depths of death. And yet, God's grace was there to rescue him from that. The Ninevites were hearing from Jonah that they were going to be destroyed because of their evil and their wickedness. That the Almighty God that Jonah knew them well, and knew that they didn't deserve to live another day. And yet, if they would change, if they would take the next 40 days, 40 is important in Scripture, isn't it? Take the next 40 days and repent, then who knows, maybe God will change his mind. And that's what happened. That's what happened. God spared the city of Nineveh, much to the displeasure of Jonah, much to the displeasure of the Israelites, much to the displeasure of most of the neighboring countries around the Ninevites. They weren't destroyed. That's about 750 BC, just so you know the rest of the story historically. About 150 years later, God did destroy the Ninevites. Their repentance only went so far down the line, a few generations, before they went back to their old ways. And in 612 BC, the Babylonians had risen to power and came in and destroyed the city, never for it to be returned to any kind of resemblance of a city ever again. But for a little while, God extended his grace, applied it to their lives, allowed them to participate in it and experience his blessing. And then in chapter 4, Jonah was upset. It was a hot day. He was hoping that he'd just sit outside the city and watch it be destroyed. That wasn't happening. Instead, he was the one that the heat was turned on. And God, in his grace, made a little plant to grow up, provide him shade from the sun, rescued him from heat exhaustion in the face of Jonah wanting to die. This amazing grace that we know, that we sing about, that saved a wretch like me, that amazing grace is at the heart of God. It's his heartbeat, and he wants us to experience it, not just you and me, but everybody. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross rescues us from the wages of sin and death. That's amazing grace. His resurrection brings us the gift of life in the face of our spiritual death. That's amazing grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 sums it all up. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ in the face of death, in the face of darkness, in the face of being guilty, in the face of being ashamed, in the face of all of our struggles and problems, God's grace shows up and offers us the gift of life. That's the first part of the message of Jonah, that God is full of grace. And Jonah even says that, chapter 4, verse 2. He says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's chapter 4, verse 2 of Jonah. I know that, Jonah says. And that's for us to get out of Jonah. But, and this is the second part, the other thing that we need to get from Jonah. But what Jonah didn't understand was that God's grace is available for everyone. Not just Jonah, not just the Israelites, not just the Hebrews, not just the Jews, not just the Christians, not just the people sitting in North Bend United Methodist Church at 10:30 on Sunday morning. God's grace is available for everyone. That's why John 3:16, probably the most famous book, or famous verse in the whole book of the Bible, is that God so loved just the Israelites? God so loved just the Christians? No, God so loved the whole world that in the face of our spiritual demise, in the face of our sinfulness, in the face of our fallen humanity, God's grace is available. God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. That's what else we need to learn from the book of Jonah. God gave Jonah a second chance. When the word of the Lord first came to Jonah, Jonah ran the other way. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. And this time Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. God gave the Ninevites a second chance. The people were evil and violent, and God sent Jonah to proclaim their destruction. However, chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, and he did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. And that's what made Jonah mad. He and all of Israel, like I've said, other neighboring countries, wanted to see the Ninevites wiped out. They were mean, they were bad, they were violent thugs who bullied and beat up others. But the king of Nineveh listened to what Jonah had to say. And he heard what Jonah was saying about what God was going to do, and he believed it. And so the king himself, in all his royal majesty, took on a burlap sack, sackcloth, and sat in dirt and ashes as a symbol of repentance. And then he called on the whole country to do the same thing. In fact, let's include the dogs and cats and cows and goats. Let's put burlap sack on all of them. And let's just make sure that God knows we're serious about this repentance. And so that's what they did. And God saw what they did. And verse 10 says in chapter 3, God relented. Changed the course. Did he change his mind? Not really. Because that's part of God's plan. If you repent, then you will see a change. If you're willing to change, then my grace is going to help you. Yeah, he said he was going to destroy him, but if they repented, there's grace. That's what happened. So the Ninevites canceled their culture of hate and violence, and they turned to the Lord, and they found forgiveness and mercy. God gave that evil nation a second chance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some of you understand slowness. Peter was writing to Christians who were expecting Jesus to come back anytime. Lord, please come back. The things in our world are just awful. They're just going downhill, spiraling into the depths. We can't wait for you to come back and push the reset button and set everything right. This was 2,000 years ago that Christians were expecting the Lord to come back and do that. And when he wasn't, and generation after generation of Christians were passing away, Peter said, well, you know, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some of you understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, the more we pray, come quickly, Lord, the more we pray that, the less chance there is of our neighbor who doesn't know Jesus coming to know Jesus. As much as we want our Lord to step back into history and be done with all this dark, black, yucky, evil junk that's happening in our world, if that happened today, there'd be some people who wouldn't be ready tomorrow, and they'd be lost. God's not satisfied with that. He's patient, slow to anger, steadfast in his love, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. How's he going to decide when it's time to come back? I don't know. But in his infinite wisdom, I trust him that he'll know when it's best. But until that time, I've got work to do. I've got work to do. I've got people to say, you know, you know that story about Jonah in the Old Testament? It's really about God's grace and how he gives people a second chance. He gave me a second chance, and a third, and a fourth. And that's what our work is as a church. The second part of the message of Jonah is that God extends his grace to everyone, even people we don't like, even people who we think deserve to be locked up or to be eliminated. God's grace even extends to those people we don't like. You know, we like stories that end in ways that we should think they should. When I was growing up as a youngster, I watched, I don't know if you remember, Dudley Do-Right. Do you remember Dudley Do-Right? He was a Canadian Mountie in a cartoon, and he was always battling Snidely Whiplash, who always wore black. And Snidely was always trying to tie Nell up on the railroad tracks. But Dudley Do-Right would come in just in time, and he'd rescue her and save the day. I'd watch Popeye, the sailor, who was always in conflict with Brutus the bully. But Popeye always got the best of Brutus. I'd watch the black and white Lone Ranger and Tonto, where they would always find out who the bad guy was and make the story right. Same with black and white TV show of Superman. Always get the bad guys in the end. We like those stories when it ends like we think it should, where the bad guys get what they deserve. The story of Jonah is about the fact that maybe those bad guys deserve some grace. That God loves even the bad guys, the Snidely Whiplashes and the Brutuses and the others. And yeah, if there's no repentance, if there's no change, if there's no room in their heart for God's love and God's grace, then they're going to get theirs in the end that's beyond this life's end. But if there's a chance that you, that we, the church, you and I, can change that trajectory of their lives, their eternity, and offer them the grace of God, then they'll get a second chance. And if they need it, maybe a third and a fourth. That's the message of Jonah. God loves us. His grace is available to us. He's full of grace, but it's available to everyone. Everyone. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Once again, Lord, we thank you for the good news of your love for us, of that amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. We thank you that that grace has been flooding our lives for years and years. Our prayer today is that that grace can spill over out of our life into the lives of others. And let them know that your love is available to them too. Even the people we don't like. you love them. And you don't wish that anyone would perish, but that everyone would repent. May that message of transformation, that message of hope, that message of eternal life be the heartbeat of all that we do and say as your church. That's our prayer today. In Christ's name, amen.